This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. In 2017, music critic Ann Powers teamed up with Allison Fensterstock, an arts and culture writer based in New Orleans, to co-found NPR Music's acclaimed radio essay series, Turning the Tables. The purpose of the series was and is to increase recognition of female artists who might otherwise be relegated to historical footnotes. That series has now inspired a new hardback anthology and audiobook spotlighting women who have helped define musical eras. It's called How Women Made Music, A Revolutionary History from NPR Music. At the book's foundation is a list of the 150 greatest albums made by women. It also mines material from 50 years of NPR interviews, essays by music experts, behind-the-scenes stories, plus plenty of photographs and illustrations. My guests today are Allison Fensterstock, who edited the anthology, and Ann Powers, who wrote the introduction. And I'll start with you. In the introduction to How Women Made Music, you write about the book's origins in the NPR series Turning the Tables. Can you describe that series and how it evolved into this project?
Turn the Tables is a series we started in 2017, really to shift the center of thinking about popular music history. And, you know, there's been many, many publications, radio programs, podcasts, etc., about women in popular music. But never, as far as we've known, had there been a series that was wholly devoted to telling the entire history of popular music through only women artists. And we felt that we needed to kind of make that earthquake move, you know, to really make space to see how women artists speak to each other across generations and how we really can tell that whole story simply by looking at and listening to women artists. So that was our stated goal. The series took different forms in different years. We did a list of 150 greatest albums by women. We did a list of the 200 greatest songs by 21st century women. We did a great season on 8 women who invented popular music. That was about pioneers like Bessie Smith and Billie Holiday. And now we have this beautiful book that takes from that series and also augments it with interviews from the history of NPR, from 50 plus years of NPR interviews. And Allison did an amazing job creating a whole new version of Turning the Tables with this book.
Yeah, and I'll gear my next question toward Allison. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Bessie Smith. There's that wonderful essay, a full-length essay in this book, something called How She Influenced a Century of Popular Music. And then the form of this book is really accessible. So there's those longer thought pieces from contributors talking about the significance of an artist to music as a whole, or even to the individual writer in the case of the Kate Bush essay. But there's also tons of shorter entries. As you mentioned, I'm thinking some of my favorites were Carole King talking with Terry Gross about how it felt to hear her own song, Natural Woman, being recorded by Aretha Franklin, you know, those kind of gems. So, Allison, as the editor of How Women Made Music, what was the discovery process like for you and maybe your research team as you pulled these little gems from the archives? For you, were there any serious surprises?
It was so much fun. You know, it was like once I got in touch with the NPR archivists, it was like, I don't know, it's like just Christmas shopping or something, uh-huh, where everything is for me and it's like all available. I mean, there's a lot to wade through because there's so much material, but you would just get stuff from, it was like traveling through time, you know, like there's this amazing interview that Patti Smith did with an old show called Voices in the Wind in 1976. So she was, you know, like Horses had just come out. She was maybe barely 30, I think. Her accent is still really heavy.
She's at the stadium with 20,000 girls calling the name out to me.
And she's just talking with so much excitement about what it's like to start to become a rock performer on stage, to become like a band leader playing rock and roll instead of a poet, which is kind of what she had mostly been up until this transitional point. So you can hear her in real time talking about what we know is sort of an amazing pivotal moment in her career. And we just sort of go back in time there with her. And I love that Carole King interview where she talks about hearing Aretha recording her song. Like, I love the moments where you heard artists talking about the way they interacted with each other, you know, either in real life or more so as like fans and listeners and influences.
I want to interject and say, Turn the Tables also had a live component. And one of my favorite pieces in the book comes from our co-founder, Jill Sternheimer, who was director of public programs at Lincoln Center when we started the series. And she has a great entry in which she talks about different shows that were so meaningful to her. And she talks about our first Turning the Tables show in which Roberta Flack performed for the first time in a long time. And Jill and I were standing on stage at that moment. We were kind of watching the proceedings go by. We were off to the side. Suddenly there's this like great flurry of activity right next to us. And Roberta's in a wheelchair and we see Valerie Simpson bringing her up to the piano. We're like, oh my gosh, is this happening? And Valerie's suddenly playing the piano and suddenly Roberta is singing, and just miraculous moments like that. I'm just so lucky to have been privileged to have experienced them.
Yeah, that was a thrilling moment. And besides, you've contributed two pieces in this book, one on Kate Bush and one called Roberta Flack's Career Demands a New Way of Thinking About the Word Genius. Can you talk about that one a little bit? She might be an example of someone whose hits we remember, but not necessarily appreciate how influential she really was.
Thank you for singling out that piece. That piece originated while I was working on another book that I recently published called Traveling on the Path of Joni Mitchell. I was thinking about Joni Mitchell's, you know, kind of almost singular status at certain times as, you know, being considered the great woman genius of popular music. And I had discovered in the research I was doing that what Joni was in rock circles, in folk circles, Roberta really was in R&B and jazz and soul circles. She was ubiquitous. I mean, she did so much. She was an activist. She was a key player in black radio. Her music invented a new form, basically, not only through those immortal hits like The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, in which she stretches out the phrases so elegantly and eloquently and creates what the scholar Jason King has called vibe. She essentially created the idea of vibe in music. But then in her later work in the 1980s, when she helped invent a whole new radio format called Quiet Storm, which became really, really important in the history of black radio. So here's a woman. Oh, also, she was her own producer. So just as Joni was producing her own albums, so was Roberta. And yet I felt she never gets that credit, partly because she's mostly an interpreter. You know, she is mostly a singer of other people's songs. So this makes us have to redefine the very idea of what authorship is. Authorship can be a vocal performance. You know, she didn't write many of the songs that she made into hits, but she transformed that. She authored them through her performances.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly.
If you're just joining us, this is The Creative Way on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Vanessa Finney talking with Allison Fensterstock and Ann Powers about the NPR music series Turning the Tables, which they co-founded, and the brand new book that grew out of it, How Women Made Music, A Revolutionary History from NPR Music.
I heard he said,
you know, I just want to add to the end of that, I love that concept of authorship through interpretation. And we also have a wonderful interview with Ricky Lee Jones where she talks about that. And she's like such a trickster of creativity because she's a wonderful songwriter. She's like one of our great 20th century songwriters and into the 21st now, too. But she's always been such a wonderful interpreter, and she's so eclectic and kind of like artistically capricious. I think that that's almost worked against her somehow, and people don't appreciate her legacy enough. But she speaks like really wonderfully about the craft of interpretation in this, I think it's an interview from 2007 in the book.
She does. You know, you both have spoken about authorship and also talked about how women artists speak to each other over generations. One thing that I always like to hear artists talk about is sort of the cross-pollination between different arts. And that's one of my favorite aspects of this book. There's actually musical artists talking about how literary artists have inspired them. I'm thinking of Ani DiFranco telling you, Allison, about being influenced by the poet Lucille Clifton. And then Lucinda Williams telling Renee Montaigne many years ago how she loved the short story writers, Eudora Welty and Flannery O'Connor. And that made her think that she could write songs like little short stories. Can you think of any other odes like that from the book?
There is. This is one of my favorite interviews to listen to, too, because it's an interview with Joni Mitchell from, she's promoting Turbulent Indigo, which is early 90s. And she's talking about how she paints. And then she's also talking about how she, like, she was talking to Georgia O'Keeffe.
As you do.
And Georgia O'Keeffe was like, oh, like, I always wished I could have been a musician, too. And Joni's like, so I told Georgia O'Keeffe, you can. And I was, and she does a little imitation of Georgia O'Keeffe's voice. And it's just, it's so great. And it's just thinking of this conversation.
And we should note that if you purchase the audiobook of How Women Made Music, you get to hear many of these audio interviews from the artists themselves in their own voices.
Yes, that's a wonderful way to do it. There's also terrific essays on Rihanna, Beyoncé, and it's not just American or English artists. You covered the Brazilian artist Gal Costa, who was a huge figure in the bossa nova and tropicalia scenes, Marian Anderson, Janis Joplin. This is really a treasure trove, I would call it.
I'm glad you brought up that essay because we love Karina Shorsky, the woman who wrote that essay. She's one of my favorite women writing about music and literature and the arts and dancing these days. And Gal Costa is such an important figure in Brazilian music. And I do think she's not as well known as, say, Astor Gilberto. Yet she was central in the nexus of politics and music in Brazil. So we did try to reach beyond the borders of the U.S. I think there's more we could have done. I think maybe there'll be another, who knows, another volume of this book, really looking at the global music scene. But we're very, very happy and honored to have included essays like that one.
Right. It almost begs for a sequel, doesn't it? Because
we're game.
Yeah, it's not just a canon in cement. Terrific. Well, Allison Fensterstock and Ann Powers, it was great chatting with you. Best of luck on your book tour for How Women Made Music, A Revolutionary History from NPR Music. It's really something to be proud of.
Thanks so much. And shout out to all y'all down there in Southern Oregon. I'm from Seattle myself, so I miss y'all. I miss the West Coast.
Right on. Thanks, Vanessa. It was nice talking to you.
Sei que é o meu coração, só lhe resta escolher. Os caminhos que a dor sutilmente traçou para lhe aprisionar. Nem lhe cabe sonhar.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. You can learn more about this episode at jeffexchange.org or on your favorite podcast platform, where you can also look for the How Women Made Music playlist.